Jesus teaches. I mean, he's just so wise. And we're so not wise. And everything he would say, we would get it at face value, but really we just didn't totally understand. And Jesus, as we're there, he starts talking and he says this thing, and he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." That was so exciting to us. We thought, finally, this is it. Finally, Jesus is going to make his move. He's going to overthrow the Romans and take his place as rightful king. And he's going to get the crown that he deserves. We were so excited. Between that and the crowd, this was our moment. Which is what made the fact that Jesus really wasn't very excited about it kind of perplexing to us. In fact, Jesus was actually quite troubled. He looked upset. You know, even later, he wanted to go to the garden and pray. And we went out to the garden and we were praying, and we were there and we could hear him praying, and he had his arms up and he said, "Father, save me from this hour." And we heard it and we were like, "What do you mean?" And we thought, what is Jesus talking about? Why would he want to be saved from this hour? This is the moment. This is what we've been working for 3 years. This is the kingdom that God has promised. And Jesus wants to be saved from it? Why would he want that? Jesus, we understand getting nerves. We all get nervous, but this kind of cold feet, why would you pray such a thing? We had no idea that Jesus at that time already knew that he was going to go to the cross and he was going to die. He knew that. He knew that he was going to die for us, for the world to save it. We had no idea. We didn't understand. But he knew. And which is why that made what he prayed next so incredible, because as he prayed, he said, "Father, save me from this hour." And then he said, "But for this purpose I have come into the world. Father, glorify your name." Wow. The fact that he knew he was going to die and he still wanted to do it, to bring glory to the Father. How deep a love that he would give his life for others. And then he heard what happened next, right? Well, that was when the voice from heaven thunders down. He says, "Father, glorify your name." And this voice thunders down and says, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." Sorry, my God voice is really terrible. But people, I wasn't just even the only one that heard it. Everybody else heard it too. And they started arguing whether or not it was like an angel or it was actually God. But it affirmed for us that Jesus was God's chosen, that Jesus was sent by God to be our king. And with everything that we had seen him do, we knew. Which is why what happened next was so confusing for us. We were still in the garden. And we're praying and talking, and these guards came out, as you heard, and they arrested Jesus. And it was kind of a flurry. We didn't really know what was going on. And Peter took out a sword, and he started swinging right away. And so we all got ready to fight too. And Peter hit some guy in the ear, and Jesus stopped us. And he said, "No, this is not the time I have to do this." And so we stopped, and the guards took Jesus away, and we didn't know what to do, so we ran, we hid, and we were so confused. What was going on? What do you mean? What did Jesus mean when he said that he had to do this? And we talked, and We didn't know what to do, and we decided that we would go in the morning as early as we could, and we would petition for Jesus to be let go because he didn't do anything wrong, and we would make a case for him. I don't know if we got any sleep that night. I know Peter didn't. Peter went and tried to follow Jesus to see where he went, to see if he was okay. And the next morning, it was so early, we went straight there, and there was already a crowd there. Word had already spread. And by the time Pontius Pilate actually brought himself out with these two men, and one of them we didn't even recognize, he was beaten so badly. But it was Jesus. He brought these two men out, and as was the tradition at the time, he would let one prisoner go at this time of year. And I remember they had this criminal Barabbas. He was a robber. And Jesus, who had done nothing wrong. And he said, "Who do you want?" And we shouted as loud as we could. We said, "We want Jesus!" But our voices were just lost in the crowd. There were so many people who had gathered by this point, and they all shouted, "Give us Barabbas! We want Barabbas!" We were like, "What?" But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Pilate delivered Barabbas, and he kept talking, and we were so stunned. And before we knew it, the crowd was shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And our voices just didn't carry in the crowd. And they took Jesus, and before we knew it, it all happened so fast, and yet it took forever. Jesus went up the hill with his cross, and they nailed him to the cross, and they lifted him up. You know, it's funny, because just the night before, Jesus said to us, "When I am lifted up, then all people will come to me." We thought he meant when he was lifted up as king, or when he was exalted and lifted up in praise. But Jesus meant when he was lifted into the air on the cross. You see, so much of what Jesus told us, we just didn't understand. We didn't get it. We didn't understand it fully. There is so much more going on behind the scenes than we even realize. When you see this cross, you see these two pieces of wood nailed together, don't just see wood. There's so much behind it. God had a plan that is bigger for the whole world. You've heard about my vision, right? In my vision, I remember so clearly seeing the throne of God. And there were the four living creatures and the 24 elders surrounding the throne. And in God's powerful right hand, he held a scroll. It had seven seals on it. This wasn't just an ordinary scroll. This one was written on both sides. This scroll was the book of life. This scroll was God's plan to save the world. This scroll held God's plan to restore a broken creation. And a voice thunders out, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals?" Sorry, my angel voice isn't any better than my God voice. And I looked around at the elders, at the four living creatures, and none of them moved to take the scroll. And I looked around at the angels and at the earth and under the earth, and there was nobody. There was nobody in heaven and on earth or under the earth that was worthy to take the scroll and open it and unleash God's plan. Somebody had to do it. Somebody has to save the world. And there's nobody? Are we that far gone? Are we that broken? Were we that lost? And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so he is worthy to take the scroll and open its seven seals." And I looked, and there by the throne and the living creatures and amongst the elders was a lamb. A lamb who looked like he had been slain. He had seven eyes and seven horns. And yet he was so familiar. I knew that this was Jesus. And Jesus took the scroll. And what happened next was incredible. I thought the crowds at Jerusalem were intense. That was nothing compared to what I saw. When he took that scroll, the four living creatures and all 24 elders bowed down with their bowls and their harps, and they just shouted. They said, "Worthy are you to take the scroll, for you were slain, and your blood was ransomed people for God." And then all the myriads and myriads and thousands of angels joined them in saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And then I looked at the earth and under the earth and in the sea, and everyone in heaven and on earth and under the sea just shouted and praised and said, "To him on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." It was so incredible. Jesus was worthy. He was so worthy. He was worthy because he went to the cross. He was worthy, so he went to the cross. Jesus was worthy. And we don't necessarily understand it. Things are so much bigger than we can understand or see. All of that was going on when Jesus died on that cross, was to lead for that purpose. It's incredible. You know, we didn't get it. We didn't understand what Jesus meant. In fact, the whole time that we were ministering with Jesus, we met all kinds of people. We met some people who just hated Jesus, who did not like him, who thought he was a troublemaker and that he was just causing disunity and unrest, and they wanted him gone. And their tiny set of expectations about what peace was, Jesus was disturbing that. He was making them uncomfortable. But they didn't understand that God had to make them uncomfortable, that Jesus had to do that in order to bring a true peace. And then there were the people who you thought, "Man, these people love God. They must understand. They must get it. They're the Pharisees, and they have to get Jesus." And yet, their expectations of what the Messiah would be were so small compared to what Jesus was. They thought they had turned all of their following God and the way they loved God into just following rules so they didn't anger God. And they completely missed that God is so loving and merciful and glorious that he would totally send someone to die in their place. And they missed it. And then there was the disciples. All of us who followed Jesus, we loved him. We wanted to see him take his rightful place as our king. And our tiny expectations of what the Messiah was going to be led us to believe that Jesus, he was going to be our king. He was going to overthrow the Romans. We were going to rule with him. We were going to follow him. And he was going to bring peace in these kingdoms on earth. We just didn't understand. When we thought about him having a crown on the earth, well, he got his crown on the earth, and it was a crown of thorns. And he didn't deserve that crown of thorns. We deserved that crown of thorns. But Jesus knew in order to get the crown that he deserved, he had to go to the cross. Friends, when you see the cross. Don't just see pieces of wood. There is so much there. When you see the cross, see love. Jesus went to the cross and he died. He paid his life on this cross so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Because God so loved the world that he gave his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but they will have everlasting life. And we didn't understand that. And so many don't. But it was okay because God didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it through Jesus. And friends, there is no way that you will have your name written in the book of life. There is no way you will spend eternity in heaven unless you are born again. Unless you surrender your life to Jesus, unless you believe and put your trust in him, and only then will you have everlasting life. When we look at the cross, and we see that it's empty. The reason that Jesus isn't still on the cross is because that's not where it ended.